Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson, we love guitars.
The attorneys at Gingras, Thompson, and Wachs have had the honor of receiving numerous awards for their work both in and outside the courtroom. But just as important as receiving accolades for being skilled attorneys, it's equally important to give back to the community in which they live and work. If you want a personal attorney that can help you in so many different areas, they've got them. They're in Eau Claire, Madison, Milwaukee, and Waukesha. They're easy to reach. GTWLawyers.com. That's GTWLawyers.com. Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the Operating Engineers, Local 139, Madison Firefighters, Local 311, Madison Teachers Incorporated, and the Madison Teamsters, Local 695. Joining us now from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Craig Gilbert. Craig, been kind of a quiet year.
What? Nothing to talk about.
Nothing to talk about. Well, nobody does a deeper dive into how Wisconsin votes than you do. And while Wisconsin is known for close elections, this is different than Al Gore's victory in Wisconsin in 2000 or John Kerry's or even Barack Obama's.
Yeah, I mean, it's the fourth election we've had in the last six cycles that was decided by less than a point. It shares some things in common with those other races, but when I compared it to the 2004 race because it was almost identical in its statewide numbers. The turnout was the same, the margin was the same, the outcome was the same, but the map was totally different. I mean, not totally different, but a lot different. And if you use that as a baseline, it really shows you how, you know, the outlying areas, the smaller counties, the rural counties, the northern and western parts of the state, how dramatically they've shifted in a Republican direction. And then the offsetting trend in southern and southeastern Wisconsin of a move in a blue direction in Dane County and in the metro Milwaukee area. And it has been offsetting. I mean, it's been the Democrats have gained slightly more votes compared to 2004 in metro Milwaukee and metro Madison as they've lost in all the media markets outside of Milwaukee and Madison. That's the uncanny thing about it is that, you know, big trends, big shifts, and yet they kind of zero out. And then the question going forward is how long will they continue to zero out and offset each other?
Yeah, how long will this sorting go on? Mike Tate, former chairman of the Democratic Party, told me the other day, he goes, right now we're not winning unless there's one of the two Ds, either density or degrees.
Yeah, and that's a good way of putting it. I mean, the pattern is pretty clear. Even when you look at, you know, the redder parts of metropolitan Milwaukee, which we've talked a lot about in the past, the WOW counties, the communities within those counties that are trending away from the Republican Party are closer to Milwaukee, they're more densely populated, and they have higher levels of college education. And the communities in those counties that are remaining very red or even getting a little bit redder in the Trump era are farther from Milwaukee, they're smaller towns, they're less densely populated, they have lower levels of college education, in many cases lower levels of median income. So those patterns are pretty clear and pretty straightforward. And so they do obviously pose challenges to both parties because each party has a pretty serious weakness that has kept them from, you know, kind of gaining the upper hand in Wisconsin.
Now, for years, I heard you tell me and others, interviews that you've done, that Wisconsin used to be a place where there used to be more Democrats in rural areas than other states. Is it that Donald Trump accelerated the trend and just it finally, you know, became the demographic that's pretty similar with the rest of the country?
I think so. I think one way to look at what's happened in Wisconsin is that, you know, demographics is becoming destiny to a greater extent than it was before, and that some of the things that set Wisconsin apart and that were very distinctive about Wisconsin are fading. And one of those things is, you know, the fact that there were these rural white areas of the state, particularly in western Wisconsin, that were quite purple, and purple for a long time, and purple until pretty recently. I mean, purple in 2012. And you know, to some degree, even in the midterms in 2018, but not as much anymore. I mean, conversely, you know, we've talked a lot again about how red the suburban counties are around Milwaukee, seemingly resisting a national trend of suburbs getting more purple and more blue. And that, you know, dam seems to have burst a little bit too. So in both respects, I think we're seeing Wisconsin come more to resemble, you know, the nation as a whole, to look at these, you know, these patterns look more like national patterns than they did 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
And yet, there still are white blue-collar voters, and there are some places where Joe Biden did a little better than Hillary Clinton, clearly the Fox Valley. And, you know, people that don't live in Dane County, there are all sorts of blue-collar Democrats that live in Dane County on the east side of Madison. You know, you can drive through the neighborhoods of the post-World War II homes where around Oscar Mayer used to be. They're still voting Democratic.
Yeah, and so none of these things are absolute, obviously, and that's a good point. I mean, you know, there continue to be, and there's going to continue to be within the Democratic Party, a sizable number of voters. I mean, this is a pretty blue-collar state, so it's like gun ownership. I mean, you know, we think of gun owners as being Republicans, but, you know, a very large percentage of gun owners are Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
That describes half the state in terms of, you know, households with guns at home. And so when you think of in these stereotypes, you sort of miss the fact that, you know, there are a lot of gun owners in the who vote Democratic. There are a lot of blue-collar whites and rural whites who vote Democratic, and that will continue to be true. It's just that, you know, the broader patterns are becoming a little more stark.
If it were not for Dane County, would Wisconsin be Iowa?
Well, I think you sort of got to figure Milwaukee into that equation, too. I mean, you have Des Moines in Iowa, and Des Moines is not really a perfect corollary to either Milwaukee or Madison. But I think it's the combination of Milwaukee and Madison, you know, two very different cities, but both, you know, providing very large Democratic margins, and I think actually now almost equal Democratic margins in these big statewide elections and presidential elections. So, I think clearly one reason Iowa has, you know, marched in a more Republican direction and Wisconsin is still kind of on the knife's edge is, you know, Iowa is, you know, that white vote, that rural white vote is a much bigger, you know, it's sizable in Wisconsin, but it's a much bigger proportion of the vote in Iowa. And you don't have sort of the offsetting, yeah, I mean, Dane County is a pretty unique place. You don't have Dane County in most places, and you don't have a big, metropolitan area like Milwaukee in Iowa either.
I was just going to say, is there any other county like Dane in the country? That big a college town, that big a state capital, with a growing population that is performing at that high a level, is there another county like that in the country?
Well, you can think of counties that size that aren't as blue and that aren't as, you know, mobilized. I mean, the county around Columbus, Ohio, maybe, but then you can think of counties that are very blue, like Dane, that are smaller, like Boulder, you know, is a pretty good corollary.
Right.
It's very Democratic, very high turnout, but it's not as big. So it doesn't have as profound an impact on the statewide vote in Colorado as Dane County has in Wisconsin.
And conversely, many of these counties that are becoming redder and redder are losing population or are stagnant.
Yeah, I mean, what's happened is the vote gain on the Republican side has been very large, and it's a pretty profound trend. And it's not because that vote is you know, the underlying population is growing, it's because the swing has been so dramatic. And so it does raise the question of whether, you know, Republicans will continue to kind of generate, you know, growing or the same or growing margins from those places when they're not growing. But, you know, it all depends on you know, so many things. You know, it's hard to imagine the Republican share of the vote in some of these counties getting too much bigger. But, you know, it could happen, just like, you know, the Democratic share of the vote in Dane County keeps getting bigger, but the population also keeps getting bigger in Dane County.
So there used to be the rule of thumb that Democrats did better in presidential years. But it appears as though President Trump has turned that on its head. If you look at the Tony Evers-Scott Walker race, Democrats did pick up more counties around the state, and some of the counties around Dane County were definitely bluer than they were in this election. So that old rule about presidential elections being good for Democrats is not necessarily true anymore.
No, and I'm not sure it was ever entirely true. I mean, if you go back to 2004, we talked about that year. I mean, that still is the highest turnout election we've ever had. And that was a jump ball election for president between John Kerry and George W. Bush. I think, you know, the thing about maximal turnout is that it generally means that both sides have turned out. You know, what happens in midterms and lower turnout elections and wave elections is when one side turns out and the other side doesn't turn out. And certainly both sides turned out in this election. I don't entirely have a handle on the turnout. I mean, it's, you know, there may have even been a slight turnout advantage for the Republicans. I mean, the counties that had the biggest growth in turnout from 2016 were a lot of small pro-Trump counties. And obviously Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee didn't grow in turnout. So you might have even had a slight Republican turnout advantage in this election, but again, one reason I think it wasn't the bigger victory that some Democrats were hoping for and the polls were suggesting was because there was no turnout advantage for Democrats. Both sides turned out, and Donald Trump certainly turned out his base.
Yeah, and I certainly don't blame Charles Franklin for missing the mark a little bit, because he didn't miss it by much. People kind of forget that there is a margin of error written into those polls, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is he came a lot closer than the other polls.
Well, closer than ABC Washington Post, that's for sure.
Yeah, and we knew that poll was, you know, off at the time. But even, you know, they had a 17-point margin, but even the New York Times and a bunch of other legitimate polls had a 9- or 10-point margin at the end. Marquette was 4 or 5, depending on the turnout scenario. So, no, they weren't. I think we're still seeing or sorting through what went wrong with the polling. And obviously, you know, these polls, some more than others, had a problem picking up the Trump vote and some demographics. And I think, you know, in the case of the Marquette poll, I think it will be the case that it was pretty accurate in measuring the vote in the Milwaukee and Madison media markets, but it, you know, what it was finding outside in the rest of the state was that Biden was very competitive with Trump. And so it looked like, you know, Biden was going to outperform Clinton based on the polling in those parts of the state where Trump had done so well in 2016. It turns out that Trump pretty much did as well as he did in 2016 in those areas, and Biden was not as competitive in those parts of the state as the polling suggests. So there's where the miss occurred. And, you know, well, I think people are still sorting through whether this is a problem specific to Trump elections, because the polling in the midterms was pretty accurate, or whether it's a problem we're just going to be dealing with going forward.
Yeah, they might have to almost build that into their margin of error, build that into a factor when they're weighing votes. Craig Gilbert with us at slysoffice.com. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep slysoffice.com up and going so you keep up to date. Whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SliesOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
We're back with Craig Gilbert, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Of course, our podcast, Sly's Office, brought to you by our friends at Madison Computer Works and Jeff's Guitar Clinic. And always remember to subscribe to the paper. Craig proudly subscribed to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Capital Times, State Journal, Washington Post, Isthmus. I just make sure that this solid journalism that you guys are doing keeps going.
Thanks for the plug. And please subscribe. It's not a lot of money.
No, it's not at all.
It keeps us going. I mean, you know, all these publications are increasingly subscription-driven as opposed to advertising-driven. So it's really not a lot of money, and if people enjoy the coverage, please do subscribe.
I think I'm paying less for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel than I did in the 1990s. So
you probably are.
Yeah, I don't get the paper on my doorstep anymore, but it is very helpful. All right, let's take a look specifically at the county I was born in, Milwaukee County, where I first met you in 1992 on Wisconsin Avenue. I can't remember what hall that was, but Croatians and Serbians were screaming at each other during a Feingold Moody debate. That is where I first met you. So I've known you for 28 years.
That's one of the only times I've been screamed at by a candidate. I had written a story about all the money Jim Moody was raising from people that were on the sort of, I believe it was the Serbian side of the Baltic
Wars. Oh, yes. Yes.
Or maybe it was the Croatian.
Oh, no, it was the Serbian side.
Okay.
Because the Croatians were backing Feingold.
Yeah, so anyway, that was a pretty crazy, that whole.
It was very intense. You know, and isn't it funny, we talk about the Balkanization of Yugoslavia. Well, now we have the Balkanization of America and the way our politics are practiced. Let's talk about the area I was born in, Milwaukee. Some interesting things happened in Milwaukee County, which is a big, diverse county. Explain.
Well, the city of Milwaukee basically just did the same thing it did 4 years earlier. I mean, the Biden vote was almost identical to the Clinton vote. And remember, that was seen as an unimpressive showing by Hillary Clinton because it was, you know, the turnout was down from the Obama years. Her margin was fairly similar. So Joe Biden basically, you know, carbon copy almost city of Milwaukee. Where the change occurred was in the suburbs. And, you know, across the suburbs, I mean, you had a lot of suburbs on the North Shore, you know, that got even bluer. You know, they've been blue for some time, got even bluer. And some of these suburbs, you know, like Wauwatosa, you know, it wasn't that long ago. It was a 50-50 community. And I think the margin this time was like 30 or 40 points for Joe Biden. That's a lot of votes. It's a big community.
When I was a little boy, Wauwatosa was solidly Republican.
Yes. And I think in as recently as I think 2004, it might have been 50-50. You know, even in 2012, it was pretty competitive. So, you know, the changes on the north side of Milwaukee County have been dramatic, but even, you know, even some of the communities, the purple communities and even a little bit more Republican communities on the south side, also shifted. I mean, every community in Milwaukee County did better for Biden than it did for Clinton. Even the handful that are still, you know, a little bit more Republican than
so now. What about South Milwaukee and Oak Creek and that whole area down there?
Yeah, so South Milwaukee, you know, it got a few points better for the Democrats. I think Joe Biden won South Milwaukee by like 3 points.
Uh-huh.
But then you had places like, you know, Hales Corners, which Trump won, one of the few places. I think there were three communities he won. I think he won Hales Corners, Oak Creek, and Franklin, but by single digits. And those communities, you know, a couple of them were double-digit communities last time. So there was movement in a Democratic direction throughout Milwaukee County. It was bigger in some communities than other communities. But it was really important because when you look at, you know, a 40,000 vote swing statewide from a 22,000 or 23,000 vote Trump margin to a 20,000 Biden margin, that's 43,000 votes. You know, a sizable share of those, I think 20,000 of that was from Milwaukee County, and that was almost all in the Milwaukee County suburbs. Dane County, the numbers were even bigger, and obviously they were in Dane County, they were both the city of Madison moving, you know, getting better for Biden than for Clinton, but also the Dane County suburbs.
Wow. That's, you know, people kind of forget there used to be a lot of Republicans that lived in Dane County. I mean, it's been a Democratic county for a long time, but there used to be a lot of Republicans that lived here.
Well, that's the thing is we get, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot. I mean, we get, and I'm writing another story about the WOW counties, but we've been so focused on the WOW counties because they're dramatic. They've been very Republican. They've been sort of a symbol of Republican strength, and they're unusual nationally. And so we think about the suburban shifts in Wisconsin through the lens of the WOW counties, but the blue suburbs had a more profound impact on this election. The blue suburbs getting bluer had a more profound impact in pure numbers than the red suburbs getting less red. And so, you know, if you add up the Dane County suburbs and the Milwaukee County suburbs together, that's about a 35,000 vote swing, a net gain for Democrats between 2016 and 2020, easily more than enough to erase Trump's lead in 2016, and almost as big as the statewide swing altogether. So that's really where the election was won. I mean, I thought, you know, one thing that surprised me about this election is I did think it would be hard for Donald Trump to do as well in rural Wisconsin and particularly western Wisconsin as he did 4 years ago. So I was wrong about that. But I thought that he needed to do as well or better in order to counteract what was going to happen in southern Wisconsin. And it turns out he did, you know, he did that. It got him into the game, but the bleeding in the suburbs was just too much for him to overcome.
There are some interesting numbers here, though. Ozaukee County, George W. Bush won by 32 points, 17,000 votes. Trump won it by 12 points, 7,000 votes. Cedarburg, of all places, went for Biden. Cedarburg went to George W. Bush by 35 points, and Joe Biden won it. Now, that's a swing.
I believe Cedarburg is the first of the more than 70 communities in the WOW counties to vote Democratic for president since Fort Washington voted for Bill Clinton in the 1990s. And so that is a big deal. A bunch of other places like Mequon and Thiensville and Elm Grove and even Brookfield were only won by Donald Trump by single digits. And again, you know, all these places were very Republican not too long ago. Ozaukee County is just, you know, I was just looking at this. In the 80s, in the late 80s, it was more Republican than the other WOW counties, and probably the most Republican county in the state.
I think it's one of the wealthiest counties in the country.
Well, it has high median income and very high levels of college education. I think it may be second to Dane in that respect, but in the state. So those three counties were voting in concert in the 90s and much of the 2000s, and now they've separated. And you mentioned Ozaukee County voting, for Trump by only 12 points. Washington County voted for Trump by 38 points. So that's a giant separation between two counties that were kind of clustered together for two decades or more. In fact, like I said, Washington County was less Republican than Ozaukee County if you go back to the 80s. So it's interesting that what we think of as a monolithic block, what we have long thought of as a monolithic Republican block, is itself kind of diverging internally, where certain communities are getting purple and others are as red as they've ever been.
You know, years ago, I remember listening to Mark Belling talking about the pecking order and differences among those Republican counties and the different people that had moved there. Washington County is not as wealthy as Ozaukee County. So,
nope.
And he pegged it, you know,
Yeah, it's more blue collar.
It doesn't have
the same commuting ties to Milwaukee as Ozaukee County does. What's remarkable is that if you go back, you know, probably some of those same differences did exist a few decades ago, but they didn't translate the same way into how people voted. And so it's been, you know, like you said, Trump has accelerated these trends, but they do predate Trump. You're starting to see even in the Obama years, Ozaukee County, you know, certainly become less Republican than Washington County and Waukesha County. And now that's really accelerated.
Did the Great Recession of 2008, 9, 10 change our demographics in voting? Was this the beginning of the change? Because, you know, for a lot of blue-collar males, that wasn't a recession. It was a depression.
Yeah, I think it had a big, big impact because it wasn't just the economic impact. It also, you know, it came with political changes and electoral changes. We've seen the decline of labor unions, and that was probably hastened in some ways by that event. The election of 2010, which came out of that to some degree, also, you know, hastened the decline of labor unions in places like Wisconsin. So I think in a lot of ways it had a big, big impact.
And one thing I noticed, I don't know if you've caught this, normally Sheboygan County is a little more Republican than Manitowoc County. That has flipped. Sheboygan County performed about the same level as it had in the past, 57-41, where Manitowoc County really became even redder. And somebody pointed out to me that Joe Biden almost won the village of Kohler. So that tells me wealthier people that Sheboygan is beginning to become a suburban county to Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think all these things really do make a difference. But one thing you mentioned earlier, which I just want to come back to, was, you know, because not all, when we're talking about the changes in the state, I mean, not every place in Wisconsin is shifting. A lot of them are, but, you know, you mentioned the Fox Valley. You know, that remains a real battleground, and that, you know, didn't vote that much differently in 2020 than it voted in 2004, for example. Racine County is, there's been some population changes, but it remains kind of a partisan battleground. So there are parts of the state that aren't, you know, moving as dramatically as other parts of the state, and they're also going to help determine, I think, the calculus of Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin has this pretty remarkable record now of being a pure battleground over a long period of time, and it's all the more remarkable when you think about other states. We talked about Iowa, and then you can throw in Ohio, states that have kind of moved from being purple battlegrounds to being more comfortably red, and states like Virginia and Colorado that have moved from being, you know, red to purple to blue. There aren't many states that are just hanging in there. I think it's just a function of the fact that all these demographic shifts, because of our particular population mix, have been offsetting, so we remain really competitive. You know, maybe Pennsylvania and Florida are the only two other states, and Florida is a question mark. It seems to be trending Republican. So there we are. I mean, it's a very short list of perpetual battlegrounds.
Yeah, let me ask you one more question. The Hispanic vote on the near south side of Milwaukee, did anything change there?
Yeah, and I haven't done a deep dive into that. My sense is, I mean, we've certainly seen nationally that there have been shifts where Trump made some inroads with black voters and Hispanic voters, and the maps I've seen that other people have done of the city of Milwaukee suggests that Biden may have underperformed Clinton on the near south side, where there's a lot of Hispanic voters, and on the north side in African American neighborhoods. There's also been population changes you have to figure into that mix. So I haven't done the deep analysis of that, but there is some evidence that happened.
Hang on the line for just a second. Craig Gilbert, thanks for coming to us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and thanks for all that you do. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. This is SliesOffice.com.
SliesOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.